You're listening to an African Elements top news story for January 29th, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the Sonya Massey case changed police response rules forever. By Darius Spearman. On January 29th, 2026, a courtroom in Illinois became the center of a national conversation on justice. Circuit Judge Ryan Katajan delivered a stern message to the law enforcement community. He sentenced former Deputy Sean Grayson to 20 years in prison for the killing of Sonya Massey. This was the maximum sentence allowed for second-degree murder in the state. The judge noted that the shooting of an unarmed woman who called for help was a deep betrayal of the public trust. The family of Sonya Massey sat in the courtroom as the 20-year term was announced. While the sentence reached the legal limit for the charge, many in the community felt the pain of a miscarriage of justice. Sonya Massey was a 36-year-old black mother who simply wanted to feel safe in her home. The man who killed her, a 31-year-old white deputy, will now spend two decades behind bars. This moment is a landmark in the long history of policing in Illinois. It highlights the gap between what the law allows and what a grieving family considers true justice. The road to this sentence began long before the summer of 2024. For decades, Illinois struggled to manage how its officers were trained and monitored. The Illinois Police Training Act of 1965 was the first major attempt to centralize standards. However, oversight remained reactive for a very long time. It often took a tragedy to spark change. This cycle of violence and reform has been a constant part of the black experience in the state. The 2014 shooting of Laquan McDonald in Chicago was a turning point. That case exposed a code of silence within the police department. It led to a federal consent decree that forced the city to change its ways. This court-ordered agreement created a roadmap for reform that included better documentation of every time an officer drew a weapon. The goal was to rebuild trust that had been broken by generations of systemic issues. In the same way that involuntary servitude persisted in different forms after the Civil War, many felt that police misconduct simply found new ways to survive. One of the most dangerous flaws in the system was the phenomenon of the wandering officer. These are individuals who move from one police department to another to hide their past mistakes. Sean Grayson was a textbook example of this problem. He worked for six different law enforcement agencies in only 4 years. During that time, he had two DUI convictions and a history of ignoring orders during high-speed chases. Yet, he continued to find work as a deputy. Before 2025, there was no unified system to share disciplinary records between agencies. This vetting gap allowed officers like Grayson to keep their jobs despite clear warning signs. This lack of transparency is as critical to public safety as educational outcomes are to the success of students. Without a complete history, hiring departments cannot make informed choices about who they put on the street with a badge and a gun. The tragedy of Sonya Massey led to a major change in Illinois law. In August 2025, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed SB 1953, also known as Sonya Massey's Bill. This law finally closed the loophole that allowed Sean Grayson to jump from job to job. Now, every law enforcement agency must conduct a deep review of an applicant's full employment history. This includes looking at non-public settlement agreements that were often used as hush money to let problem officers resign quietly. This new law requires applicants to sign a release for all past employment records. It even covers physical and psychological fitness for duty exams. The state wants to ensure that no officer can hide a history of misconduct. This level of scrutiny is necessary to protect the lives of citizens. It is a step toward fixing a broken system that ignored the red flags of aggressive behavior for too long. The events of July 6, 2024, began with a call for help. Sonya Massey believed there was a prowler outside her home and called 911. When deputies Sean Grayson and Dawson Farley arrived, they found no one outside. They entered the home to finish their report. Inside, the mood shifted when Grayson noticed a pot of water boiling on the stove. He ordered Massey to move it to prevent a fire. When she picked up the pot and said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," Grayson drew his weapon. Grayson threatened to shoot the woman in her fing face. Body camera footage showed Massey ducking behind a counter and apologizing. Despite her being behind a counter, Grayson moved toward her and fired 3 shots. One of those shots struck her in the head. After the shooting, Grayson even discouraged his partner from getting a medical kit. He claimed that she was already gone. This footage was the most powerful evidence in the trial. It showed a level of aggression that shocked the nation. In many police trials, the reasonable officer standard is used to defend the use of force. This comes from the Supreme Court case Graham v. Connor. It says that an officer's actions must be judged by what a reasonable officer would do on the scene, not with perfect hindsight. Prosecutors in the Grayson case argued that his fear was not reasonable. They pointed out the distance between him and Massey. They argued a pot of water did not justify lethal force. The jury eventually convicted Grayson of second-degree murder. This means they believed he honestly thought he was in danger, but that belief was legally unreasonable. Under Illinois law, this is a mitigating factor that lowers the charge from first-degree murder. While first-degree murder can lead to life in prison, second-degree murder has a range of 4 to 20 years. Judge Katigan chose the highest possible number to reflect the severity of the crime. The Massey case also put a spotlight on how 911 calls are handled. Sonia Massey was struggling with her mental health when she called the police. Her family had even asked for non-combative officers. However, the response she received was aggressive from the start. Illinois has a law called the Community Emergency Services and Supports Act. It is also known as the Stefan Watts Act. It requires 911 centers to send mental health professionals instead of police for crisis calls. The goal is to move toward a 988 first response. 988 is the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. If dispatchers had treated Massey's call as a medical emergency, the outcome might have been different. Instead, the situation escalated into a fatal shooting. Many rural and smaller jurisdictions have been slow to implement these new rules. This failure to change protocols is a major reason why wellness checks remain so dangerous for Black residents. Another part of the reform effort in Illinois is the Safety Act. This law mandates that officers must intervene if they see a partner using excessive force. During the shooting of Sonia Massey, Deputy Dawson Farley was present. He did not fire his weapon, but he also did not stop Grayson. Farley testified that he was confused by the situation and did not see Massey as a threat. Yet, he drew his gun because Grayson did. Farley was not charged with a crime. He served as a key witness for the prosecution instead. This highlights a difficult reality in police culture. Even with laws like the Safety Act, it is hard for officers to go against their partners in the heat of the moment. The duty to intervene is a high bar to reach when training emphasizes staying together. This lack of intervention is a recurring theme in a long medical history of systemic bias where Black lives are treated with less care. The sentencing of Sean Grayson took place while Donald Trump is serving as the current president. The case has drawn the attention of the U.S. Justice Department. They have opened an inquiry into the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office to look for patterns of bias. This federal involvement is rare but necessary when local systems fail to protect their citizens. President Trump's administration has faced pressure to address these civil rights concerns while also supporting law enforcement. The national conversation around Sonia Massey is part of a larger push for federal police reform. People are tired of seeing the same stories repeat themselves. They want to see more than just one officer go to prison. They want to see the entire system change so that no one else has to call 911 and end up dead. The 20-year sentence for Grayson is a start, but it is only one piece of a very large puzzle. The legacy of Sonia Massey will be defined by the laws that now bear her name. The Sonia Massey bill is a promise to the community that wandering officers will no longer be allowed to hide. It is a promise that background checks will be real and thorough. For the Massey family, these laws are a small comfort compared to the loss of a mother and daughter. However, they are essential for the safety of the next generation. Copyright, African Elements.